WPG Talk Radio 1450. How you doing, South Jersey? Don't forget to turn your clock back Saturday night before you go to bed. Yep, it's going to be dark at 5 o'clock. My name is Mel Taylor. It's the Mel Taylor Show every Friday from 3 till 6. Coach Mindy, the ravishing redhead, keeping me in line, keeping me honest. And we have in the studio Beth Quart from the Surf Rider Organization, Monica Coffey, kind of a little bit of everything, leading the charge to make Margate, the green team, and sustainable Margate even cleaner and a better place to live, and the Honorable Mayor Nick Russo of Longport. Now, the first reading, Nick, if you get on that mic there, the first reading of this ordinance, is that what it's called, an ordinance?
Yes.
And that is to be able to basically charge people 10 cents if they want one of those plastic bags that never disintegrates. Was it a unanimous first reading?
It was a unanimous commission vote, Mel. What an ordinance is, if some of your listeners aren't familiar with this, it's just another name for a law. That's a law at the municipal level, whereas a statute would be a law, of course, at the state level. And the way an ordinance, the process works, Mel, is the first reading, there is no public comment. It's introduced. The second reading, it's advertised, gives the public an opportunity to speak on that where they have a voice. And then, of course, after the public comment, that's when a commission would vote.
When is the second reading and vote?
The next reading is going to be November 20th, which is a Friday. It's at 1:30 in the afternoon. We have a luncheon that day. And I think that's a good time for that because we will get more people at a commission meeting than we would normally get. So
and
I
when,
think I'm excited about that.
And when should Coach Mindy and I be ready for the big party after the second reading and vote?
Well, again, I'm interested to see what the public comment could be. Everything that I've heard so far has been very, very positive. And the thing is, Mel, as you have already indicated, this is about awareness. It's about our children, our children's children, and how fragile the beautiful area that we live in. We sometimes just forget how fragile this area is. And it really is. It's going to take one individual at a time to make a change. And I'm very optimistic. And I really can't thank this group enough for sensitizing not only me, but for the entire community.
Yeah, you know, when they discovered plastics way back in the when, it's really a bunch of chemicals, and, you know, somebody figured out that this is a low-cost way of building things, whether it's bags or toys. Wow, it was great, but then we never knew the long-term effects and that a lot of this stuff just doesn't disintegrate because you have other things in your town in Longport that you make sure that people don't throw out their toys or plastic items. You make sure that those are collected as well, don't you?
Well, you know, it's you're right. There are things, electronics now we're more and more sensitized to. Actually, Mel, I had a law enforcement career, and one of the things that I did, I was probably the first, if not one of the first, investigators for the state of New Jersey that worked on environmental crime. And this was, I was at the very first meeting. It was in Newark, New Jersey, when the Newark Fire Department was very concerned about drums of hazardous waste being being dumped along Routes 1 and 9, along in the what we call the Meadowlands area and along the New Jersey Turnpike. And at that time, Mel, there was no law against illegally dumping hazardous chemical waste. And the first prosecutions were actually done under what we call common law. So I've always been sensitized many years since I first worked on those types of cases. And I had an opportunity to speak at one of these presentations of the Bagot movie. And one of the things I said, and I really mean this, is when you talk about a crime, every crime that you can dream of, there's always a victim of that crime. And I really believe with environmental crime, I know we're talking maybe apples and oranges, but there is a correlation here. Environmental crime, the real victims haven't been born yet. That's the way I think I look at this, and that's the way I would like to look at this sensitivity to this bag issue.
Before we go to a break again, it's a crime, not just a one-on-one crime, which is bad enough, but that environmental dumping, it can affect the entire community on the spot and then future generations, unborn. We're with Mayor Russo. We got another half hour with Mayor Russo of Longport, also Monica Coffey and Beth Quart and Coach Mindy. I am Mel Taylor. It's WPG Talk Radio 1450. Quick break, and we'll be right back. And you know, Mikey Bags was on that microphone just a few short weeks ago. He's the mayor of Ventnor. And you two guys are in alignment. You guys want the dunes. And Mr. Michael Becker, we love that guy from Margate. He doesn't want it, but we thought we'd give you a few moments to talk about your side of the dune issue.
Well, what I did, Mel, to me it was a no-brainer. I had the Army Corps of Engineers saying you need a dune. I had the New Jersey DEP saying you need a dune. I had my own engineer saying I needed a dune. I had Stockton University, Stevens Institute, all saying you need shorefront protection, you need a dune, and of course my own engineer. Longport is a little different than Margate. We're surrounded by water on three sides. We're trying to be proactive. And the funny thing about this whole dune controversy, Mel, is we have pictures from the 1880s, from the 1890s, where there were all natural dunes along Absecon Island. They were eventually taken down with horses and wagons.
Why was that? Do you recall?
What I've read is...
Not that you were back. Not that you were around back then, but through your research.
I know I look pretty old. It was actually so that the speculators who had purchased those properties could subdivide and sell off, get everything surveyed. So
no foresight, huh?
There was... and then, of course, some point after those dunes were removed, Longport lost 10 streets.
I know one thing. Beth Quart from the Surf Rider organization, if she was around back then, do you think they would have gotten away with that?
No way.
Surf Rider Foundation, we're an international nonprofit dedicated to protecting local oceans, waves, and beaches. So dunes are an important part of protecting our beaches and making sure that we have access to beaches and that everyone can enjoy them.
Who is Monica Coffey, and what don't we know about Monica Coffey? You're an avid runner, and you work for the ACUA. What do you do there?
Communications manager.
Mm-hmm. And what made you decide to get involved with Green Team, Sustainable Margate?
Well, when you love where you live, you want to make it even better and do what you can to get involved and improve the quality of life, and that's what the Green Team allows us to do.
And you got some great traction by going around to all the towns, I think in Brigantine, Ventnor, Margate, showing the Bagot movie. That's how we met, I think.
Yes, actually, you came to our event at Stephen Cookies. That was a very fortuitous meeting, for sure. So we've been partnering with Surf Rider and really working to get the word out throughout Absecon Island. So
you're focusing on trying to teach everybody through educational methods, different tactics of the benefits of being green, especially along the coast, because it affects wildlife in the air as well as in the water.
Yes. Living along the coast, I do think that we have a higher level of responsibility to be better stewards of the environment. So rather than always setting the bar low, I think it's time that we bring the bar up and expect a little more people and for everyone just to do a very small thing, which is try to bring a reusable bag.
You were on the verge. I think there was the very first reading a week or two ago. Do I hear this correctly, that you were able to get Mr. Mayor Nick Russo of Longport to agree to a first reading in front of the commissioners that Longport could be the very first municipality or town in New Jersey to adopt something that says, if you want a plastic bag to walk out of the store with, it's going to cost you 10 cents?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yes, we're so excited. We can't thank Longport enough, and Mayor Russo has just, and the other commissioners as well, Dan Lawler and Jim Leeds. I know his son. I don't know how I could forget his name. They've been wonderfully supportive and have really stepped up and taken a leadership role. Obviously, it's in some ways a largely symbolic move because of the fact that the business community is small. But they, regardless, Longport is going to be the first in New Jersey.
But I know what you're doing. You are going to put psychological pressure on Mayor Michael Becker.
No, well, I put actual
yes, you
real
are.
Live pressure.
That's exactly
on
what you're going to do. Right next door over in Margate. Now, it's a whole different situation. He has lots of retail, and Mr. Russo but, does not. Different kind of a town, but it does make
different.
Michael Becker have to at least give you the ear and say, here's why I can or can't do it.
I think he's open to the idea for sure. I mean, it's going to be getting the business community on board, but I have every faith that, you know, we have an educated population. And that goes for the business owners.
But once you get one town, that gives you more muscle.
Well, and I was sharing with Beth and Mayor Russo earlier that I had a chance to speak with Senator Whalen yesterday. And as you may or may not know, he has sponsored legislation in the past on reusable bags that did not get any traction. So I wanted to be sure that he was in the loop with what was going on in Longport. And he was actually pretty excited and feels that this could be a catalyst at the state level for some change, because the state is not going to want every municipality to have a different fee on bags. Mm.
And it's symbolic. The 10 cents really is not about penalizing. It just makes them think twice.
Right. It's not that you can't have a bag, but you just need to pay for it.
Well, I was blown away by this. Los Angeles, they instituted a full ban on single-use plastic bags. They don't disintegrate over time. They stay around forever, if I'm not mistaken. So Los Angeles instituted a full ban on single-use plastic bags, and they saw a 94% reduction in use in the very first year?
Yes, that's not uncommon.
It's amazing how easy, it's seemingly easy that was.
Yes, and as Beth and I were talking about earlier, you know, there is some criticism that you're asked to pay 10 cents for a bag, but in the end, you're paying for it anyway because municipalities and towns have to pay people to clean out storm drains and pick up litter and all those other things that cost a lot of money.
But seagulls swallowing it, you know, sea turtles and fish,
yes.
That is really very sad to see how that type of plastic affects their livability.
Yes, and I also would like to point out that single-use plastic bags are not the only problem. It's all single-use plastic, so straws, cups, whatever. But this is a very easy thing to pick off. It's like the low-hanging fruit. So we're hoping it does get traction and that other towns follow suit. We're pretty sure that Brigantine is could be the next.
They got a great green team over there with Lisa McClay.
Yes, and Cheryl is another one. She's the co-chair.
And they also have the Marine Mammal Stranding Center there in Brigantine,
yes.
Which of course would be wonderful for those little guys and gals in the sea that are hurt so badly by all the plastic sludge.
Monica and I met when she came to one of our monthly meetings, she and another member of the Margate Green Team.
You guys look like sisters. You really do. Two blondes,
that's
right?
Just by chance.
We finally have some estrogen in the room.
Yeah, baby. You like that. Okay. Hey, Nick, it must have been really difficult for you to drive over here with these two lovely ladies, wasn't it?
So Monica came out to one of our meetings. It's been about a year now, and we talked about Surfrider's Rise Above Plastics campaign, which encourages, just as Monica said, not only reducing the consumption of plastic bags, but also bottles, cups, and all single-use plastics. And we got on board together to really push this education through Absecon Island.
We're talking to Beth Quart. She's the chairwoman of the Surf Rider organization. Longport Mayor, the Honorable Nick Russo is here. And Monica Coffey. We're all talking about keeping our shores green, keeping them clean, and making sure people don't use as many plastic bags that don't disintegrate. We're also going to talk about this pedestrian bike plan and this pathway. We'll talk about that in a few moments. We'll take a break. It's WPG Talk Radio. My name is Mel Taylor. It's the Mel Taylor Show every Friday from 3 until 6. WPG Talk Radio 1450. Or you might want to download that Radio Pup app. Radio Pup, as in puppy. You can listen on your smart device. Hopefully you've already realized that Android, baby, is the
way to go, but Mindy does not feel that way. She's more of an Apple fangirl. So that being said, you can also listen on demand, video, audio, no studio guest pictures. We take our show notes. Just go to MelTaylorShow.com. That is MelTaylorShow.com. We'll be putting all our pictures and our archives up there, or you can go to WPG1450.com and listen online. This Mel Taylor Show, we're on the air every Friday from 3 to 6. Coach Mindy keeping me honest because we are single-handedly, Mayor, we are single-handedly forcing South Jersey and Atlantic City and Atlantic County to be all that it can be, whether they like it or not. So we just decided that we're not going to ask for permission or anything like that. We have the Honorable Mayor, Nick Russo of Longport. We have Beth Quart. She's the big cheese at the Surf Rider Organization, and Monica Coffey. And you had a really good question, Coach Mindy, for the ladies and Mr. Russo, didn't you?
I sure did, Mr. Taylor. And so here I am. I'm a consumer now, and I want to go shopping in Longport. And so I'm envisioning this. I go in. I want to pick up a couple of items, or I want to take out some food. And do I bring my own bag? Or what happens if I have 4 or 5 bags worth of stuff? Will they give me four? Will I be able to bring 4 or 5 bags? Or are they just going to give me one bag? How's that going to work for a consumer?
Well, I'd be happy to answer that. This is Monica. The way it will work is when you go into the store, if you need a bag, you will be given a bag, but you will be charged 10 cents for every bag that you need, unless you have your own bags with you. So I think it's helpful, too, to point out and remember that more than 50 million Americans currently live under some type of bag fee or bag law. So this is nothing new. It just is taking a long time to work its way east. And Beth can also speak to this, but when you hear and you read about countries such as Rwanda and Bangladesh that have outlawed plastic bags, even China,
really?
It really makes you wonder.
China outlawed it?
Yes. It makes you wonder why we're not further along.
So to follow up on what Coach Mindy just said, so when we get those plastic bags and we go, oh, we forgot, and we pay our 50 cents because we have 5 bags worth, you know how we get home, we throw it out or bag them up and we roll them up? Just take those 5 back and use them again and again and again, right?
Yes, exactly.
And there's also the tote bags that are being sold now that you keep in your car. And then when you know you're going to go shopping, you just bring out that tote bag and shop that way. Shopaholic with a tote bag.
Yes. So this is Beth. I like what Mel just said about how you forget the bag and then you have to pay for the bag. So really, that is what this fee is, a forgetfulness fee. It's just if you forget your bag or if you need a bag and you don't have it, then you pay 10 cents. And like Monica said, they have done this in other entire countries. So we're starting in Longport, which is a small town in New Jersey, and it can expand to other larger towns in New Jersey. There are big cities in the United States. San Francisco completely banned plastic bags in 2007. So there are a lot of other big cities that have been doing this for years now, and we're catching on here.
So you're saying that Longport Mayor Nick Russo is not using this 10 cent per bag thing to balance his budget? Is that what you're telling me?
No, far from it. But it's going to really generate a lot of positive.
It's symbolic. It's almost like when Coach Mindy has to pay me $5 every time she drops the F-bomb. Right? Same thing, right?
Yes, it's sort of.
Okay, so
sort of
let's before we run out of time here, I love the other project that you're working on, the pedestrian and bike project.
Oh, yeah, this is a really fun one. This is a joint study that's being undertaken by the New Jersey Department of Transportation. It's the first time that they've looked at two contiguous towns, Ventnor and Margate, at the same time. And what we're doing is we're looking for ways to improve biking and pedestrian safety and through lots of suggestions and hopefully some infrastructure improvements down the road.
Now, Mr. Bagnell, the mayor of Ventnor, might have suggested that he already has a roadway, a pedestrian and bike path called the Boardwalk.
Well, and there's a lot of feedback being left on the website, and I want to encourage anyone that has any comments or suggestions to log on to ventnor-margate.com, and there is a place to write to the project team, and then also a map of both cities where you can drop pins if you feel there's an area that needs bike racks. If you're concerned about the safety of a certain intersection, anything to do with biking and walking, your feedback would be very much
appreciated. It is amazing. On a beautiful day, and we had the world's greatest summer this past summer on Absecon Island, so many bikes. It's dangerous. I can actually say it's dangerous. There's so many bikes riding and pedestrians and kids and skateboards all together.
Yes.
So there has to be some kind of acknowledgement that people love bike riding, not just for enjoyment, but also to get from A to B, to go shopping. I go to Castles all the time, carrying two bags on my handlebars like an insane person. That being said, I also go, I wish there was more bike racks, because sometimes I don't go to Wawa. They don't have a bike rack, but I will go somewhere that does have a bike rack.
Yes.
Does this also apply to, at this point in time, you said it was two side-by-side towns. Has Mayor Guardian with Atlantic City and Mayor Russo down there in Longport, is there a reason why that they are not a part of the project at this point?
No, just that this application was made prior to us working very closely with Longport, but I do know that Atlantic City has already completed a bike and pedestrian plan, and they're in the process of implementing some of the recommendations through infrastructure improvements to their streets and roadways.
And Longport, Mr. Russo has some good right-of-way for biking. Do you is that something that you can share with us right now?
The bike lanes are very, very important to us. What my concern about the bike lanes is that actually, if you read that bike lane statute, that's really not for runners. It is, if you read it, it should be for people that they're on wheels, if I've read this thing correctly. And, of course, our concern is that there's still a degree of danger in a bike lane. One of the statistics that disturbs me very much is that the number of distracted drivers that are responsible for something like 400,000 injuries a year in the United States and almost 4,000 deaths. And this is people on a cell phone, doing their hair, putting on makeup, being involved in a conversation that they're not paying attention. And this disturbs me greatly. So much so, I do not encourage people that have strollers to be in the bicycle lanes. I just think, to me, I wouldn't want my child, I wouldn't want my grandchild in a bicycle lane, in a stroller. That poor child doesn't have a chance if a distracted driver weaves in there. And we have seen drivers weave into the bike lanes, as I'm sure you have, Mel.
Do you have, I'm sure you're knowledgeable, but could you give us some examples how Longport deals with bike rack, whether it's people trying to get to the beach, they don't want to bring their car up to the beach, there's no space, or maybe they want to pull out and go to Ozzie's for breakfast or lunch. Where is Longport right now in regards to bike racks?
We listen to a number of groups. One of the groups that I meet with on a regular basis is called the Non-Resident Taxpayer Group. You got to remember that Longport is somewhat unique in that approximately 81% of the homeowners are non-resident. I estimate on the weekends in Longport, now that the dynamic has changed with the small bungalows are gone, most of them, we're building much bigger homes now. I estimate that anywhere on the weekend we have between 16 and 18,000 people in Longport, whereas it's probably well under 1,000 during the winter. But the point I'm trying to make is, Mel, that I meet with the group. They have given recommendations to the governing body about where they would like to see bike racks, and we try to accommodate them if we can fund those. I mean, there's a certain cost. We have built them ourselves in-house, not as nice as the ones that we can purchase.
I like the one they have in front of the Margate Library that's shaped like a bicycle, huh, Monica?
Yeah. That is a very cool one. And some, you know, more forward-thinking business owners, such as Cookie Till, when she opened her coffee shop, which is right up the street from me.
It doesn't have, doesn't it have an immediate, direct correlation to how much business? Because if I couldn't lock my bike there, I might not have gotten my coffee that morning there.
Yes. So I think increased bike racks, and we already have had a lot of those suggestions on the website, is going to be a very positive improvement for both Ventnor and Margate and Longport, and, you know, will go a long way to improving the quality of life. If I could just mention another idea that came up through the steering committee on this project was possibly putting Atlantic Avenue in Margate, and I'm hoping Mayor Begnaud, I think he's open to this idea, doing the same thing in Ventnor, which is putting it on a road diet, restriping the roadway, so taking it down from four lanes to two lanes with a left-hand turn lane, and then increasing the size of the bike lanes. And another idea that came up was possibly redoing the parking to make it back in angled parking, which is much, much safer for bikers because you don't have people opening your car door. And it also increases the number of parking spots.
So you're saying that it was a four-laner and he was at least considering taking it down to two. What road was this in Ventnor again?
This is Atlantic Avenue. Definitely in Margate. Margate's been talking about this for safety reasons.
Why does Ventnor need on Atlantic Avenue to have two lanes each way? That seems like it's almost too much supply.
Well, Margate has the same thing. And as Mayor Begnaud will tell you, Ventnor has more traffic than Margate going through it. But I know the police chief he's part of the steering committee. And I think they're open to this. And
I mean, when you have two lanes going each way, it seems like it might also increase the chance to have people go too fast. Is that probably accurate or what?
You know, there are some studies that suggest if you want to slow down cars, you decrease the size of the lanes. But I think our citizenry is.
But are you saying that Mikey Bags, the Honorable Michael Bagnell of Ventnor, the mayor, is at least considering the idea of reconfiguring the road?
Well, this is what I heard from the police chief. So until I see him.
Now you're getting all red and you're kind of squirming a bit. I don't want to put you on the spot. But
well, I don't want my phone ringing when
just,
I leave
just,
here.
Just whisper between Mindy and I. Tell us what really is going on.
A lot of exciting projects. So the bike and pedestrian plan is really another example of how Beth and I and Mayor Russo and others are trying to look at Epsecan Island holistically instead of every town in their little silo doing their own thing.
Well, this reminds me of something that, you know, I lived in Manhattan for 20 years and moved to Atlantic City last year. And Central Park, that beautiful icon in the middle of Manhattan, has thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of bikers, runners, baby jogger pushers, tourists, etc., every single day. So I was the chairperson of a safety committee, and from that we did all types of reach out so that we discovered that we needed some type of a roundtable of different communities. And so we had the Central Park Recreation Roundtable. And these are stakeholders that are perhaps part of the biking community, the running community, the baby jogger community. You might want to think about getting some type of a roundtable together so that stakeholders can have a say in what this plan is all about.
Actually, that's a great point, Mindy. So in addition to the website, which again is ventnor-margate.com, where we're really encouraging the public to leave their feedback, there will be public meetings where you can come out and have your opinion heard. So we're very much looking forward to that because this is going to result in a lot of wonderful improvements for our area.
WPG Talk Radio. 1450. It's the Mel Taylor Show every Friday afternoon from 3 until 6. You can listen online anytime at WPG1450.com. Download that Radio Pup app if you'd like. And you can see photographs and video on demand. And we record these shows and you can listen to them anytime at MelTaylorShow.com. That is MelTaylorShow.com. How you doing, South Jersey? So before we say goodbye, we want to talk to Beth Quart of the Surf Rider Organization. I think they're going to be cleaning up Wellington Avenue, huh?
We are. So we have a planned cleanup of Wellington Avenue in Ventnor on November 8th. It's a Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're doing it in that time window because it is low tide. And Wellington, as many people who drive it know, It's a gateway into the Down Beach communities, and it's right across from a large shopping center. And on the other side of the shopping center is the bay. So a lot of trash will blow from the shopping center and get caught in the grass there and make its way out into the bay during high tide. So we want to get over there and clean it up and make sure that all of that plastic and all that other debris doesn't end up in the ocean.
And how can people do a little more research to reach out and join that effort?
Sure. So if you would like to come to the cleanup, you can hear more about it and read about it on our website, which is southjersey.surfrider.org. You could also email me, the chair of the Surf Rider Foundation South Jersey chapter. The email address is chair@southjersey.surfrider.org. And again, it's on Sunday, November 8th. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll be meeting right in front of Ventnor Plaza, and you can come out for any amount of time. You don't have to come for the whole 3 hours. We'll have bags, we'll have trash bags for pickup, and gloves, and everything you need.
Well, thank you so much for making the entranceway to Ventnor, one of the entranceways, so beautiful. Beth Quart of the Surf Rider Organization. But Mayor Russo, thank you so much. Monica Coffey, thank you. Beth Quart, WPG, Talk Radio 1450, thank you so much.
WPG, Atlantic City, and WPG1450.com.